are aware, each year we gather requests for Sussex County, specifically relating to capital transportation program requests from members of the public as well as this council and other stakeholders interested in the transportation system within Sussex County. We announced this year's process back in the beginning of summer. We have received comments and have compiled that information into the presentation today. I'll turn this over to Mr. Guy in a minute to go through some of the highlights of the presentation. Subsequent to today's meeting, DelDOT will host their public hearing that allows the public to review this information and other information and ask any questions of the agency and their staff during the public hearing. Specifically this year, I want to highlight the fact that I was contacted by two specific municipalities and interested stakeholders in the town of Lewis and the town of Dewey, asking for the county to submit or nominate specific items within their areas that would improve transportation, and specifically sidewalks that would connect from the unincorporated areas of the county to the incorporated areas of the towns. One in particular is a sidewalk that connects Cape and Lippin High School from the school area down to the town, where currently students have no sidewalk to walk on. In addition, the town of Dewey contacted the county and asked us to submit a nomination for improvements within their corridor to improve pedestrian access, both of which are contained in these requests. With that, I will turn it over to Mr. Guy, who will highlight the requests, and if you have any questions, please feel free. Mr. Guy, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Good morning, Council. As Mr. Lawson indicated, this is our annual request for projects, items for inclusion in the forthcoming capital transportation program request for the state of Delaware. We will have the workshop jointly with DelDOT next Wednesday. This year's request, very similar in many respects to previous year's requests. However, it does reflect the removal of some items because those projects have been completed. Notably, we've still got on here right now simply because they have some punch list items left over. I think in the next few weeks, the SR-26 project, which they held the ribbon cutting on yesterday, held that event for that. But there are also some smaller projects that local road concerns that have come off because of, you know, the paving project or an intersection improvement was done. The U.S. Route 9 corridor, you've seen a number of improvements that have been done along that route with intersection improvements, I believe, at Sweetbriar Road, Gravel Hill, and there's another one that escapes me at the moment. But those have started to cycle out, but other things have come on based on input that we've received from you, from the public, from the communities, as Mr. Lawson indicated. One item that has been added this year was a page concerning scenic byways, and I think that's on page 13. This was a request that was driven largely by the Lewis Byways Committee to try to get some more recognition for their efforts that they're doing there in the Lewis area to try to improve the corridor there. There's some mobility concerns and issues that we have included here, so that's included in this year's request. The, I want to back up to a couple of others. The airport, as you may expect, and the Park Avenue project, those remain high priorities for the county, and those have largely remained unchanged. There have been some slight changes to the Del 1 corridor improvements because of the sidewalk project that was completed over the summer there. We have on the east-west corridors, we are including one request to DelDOT this year that I think takes us a little bit step further than where we've been in the past concerning the Route 404, SR 404 corridor. And as you may know, Maryland is widening its portion of the route to accommodate east-west traffic to and from Delaware. We are respectfully asking the state to consider a comprehensive transportation study to determine further improvements on our portion of the corridor. Obviously, you know, with Maryland making its changes on that side of the line, this may now be the time to give consideration to what we do here for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years out along that portion of the route. So that's something that we think is appropriate given the traffic demands on that corridor and some of the improvements that are going on over on the Maryland side. And with that, that's pretty much it. Are there any questions that I can answer for you?
I have a question.
Sure.
Let's talk about this scenic byway thing.
Okay.
I know we had a public hearing a while back of a proposed project in Lewis, and the scenic byway issue came up. And I just want to make sure I'm on the same page that I think we are. We agreed to scenic byway, but that does not hold any form of law or ordinance or any, is that correct, Mr. Lawson?
That's correct. The council endorsed.
It's a nice thing to do, but there's no, quote, teeth that makes you do something because the byway wants you to do it with your land.
That is correct. It's simply the council endorsed the scenic byway and the corridor management plan,
right,
that DLDOT also endorsed. But in the end of the day, that does not put a land use requirement on as a layer on top of those designated routes.
Thank you. Any questions to council?
Mr. President, comment real quick.
Sure.
I will. She's not here, which makes it even better because therefore it's not intended to give the secretary any kudos or not. But the reality is, I think she deserves them.
Mm-hmm.
I did have the opportunity to be at that ribbon cutting yesterday morning for Route 26. That was at the Millville Fire Hall. And then drove up to Lewis Library last evening for another meeting that she actually was speaking at for a private group, and the topic was about the TID. So I started the morning with the secretary and then ended the evening with her as well. And I just publicly want to thank her for her commitment to having DLDOT pay more attention to Sussex County and our needs, and I think she's part of the solution, and so I just want to publicly thank her for her efforts.
I think that's appropriate, and I'll dovetail on those comments with our, you know, from the staff standpoint, we worked with DLDOT to, you know, review last year's request, some of the suggestions for this year's request, and, you know, we have a very good working relationship with staff on DLDOT, so, you know, I think that's reflective of the secretary's temperament and you know what she is trying to do there with the organization.
And I think in addition, it should be noted that I think prior to last May, according to the secretary, there has been very little or if any communication between this council and DLDOT, or at least any personal appearances, if you would, from any particular previous secretary. The fact that she's now been here four, if not five times, I think is a testament to her commitment to placing a focus on Sussex County and our needs. So I just want to thank her again.
Any more comments or questions, Council? Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I'll just, the only thing I see as we go into the future, there's a lot of improvements they're gonna make on some of the smaller roads and side roads and stuff. And I think that they ought to evaluate each time they do any kind of road improvements, sidewalks and shoulders. There's so much need for the shoulders and sidewalks, and we just see the benefits. So I just think that ought to be the part of every new project or even upgrades, anything. It ought to be part of their purview or whatever you want to have, you want to say, but they should be evaluated each time, and especially in the urban areas and close to the beach.
Yeah, and what we're calling for in a number of these local road improvements and have been for a number of years is that very thing.
Well, I see it over and over and over, and I'm
right.
Just saying it should be automatic.
Moving
in other words,
proactive.
In other words,
reactive.
Right, instead of looking at Cave Neck Road here,
right,
it says left hand, whatever. When they do that, make sure that the shoulders are adequate and sidewalks, if appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
that's all I got to say.
Any else from council?
Should be.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, Mr. Guy.
Thank you.
lastly is the administrator's report for September 20, 2016. I have another one. The county, in partnership with the Delaware State Housing Authority, Sussex County Association of Realtors, First State Community Action Agency, and NACALL, NCALL Research, will host the third annual Sussex County Home Buyer Fair from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, September 24th. The event will be held inside the Carter Partnership Center at Delaware Technical and Community College, Owen Campus, here in Georgetown. The event is free and open to the public and is designed to match potential homebuyers with housing counselors, lenders, and other resources that are available. Pre-registration is strongly encouraged so attendees can receive a free copy of their credit report. For more information or to pre-register, please visit the county's website at sussexcountyde.gov or call 855-7779. Item number two, per the attached Delaware State Police activity report for June, there were 389 violent crime arrests with 294 clearances, 2,885 property crimes with 1,594 clearances, and 22,161 total traffic charges with 15,394 corresponding arrests. Of those traffic arrests, 529 were for DUI. Finally, there were 2,507 total vehicle crashes investigated in June. In total, 192 troopers were assigned to Sussex County for the month of June. Item number three, attached, please find the cost statistics for the Fire and Ambulance Call Board for August 2016. There were 10,913 total calls handled for the month. Of those 911 calls, 83% were made from wireless phones. And finally, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the woods at Johnson's Quarter, otherwise known as Fenwick Hamlet, otherwise known as Fox Haven Phase 3, received substantial completion effective September 14th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Stennings, quarterly pension update and recommendation.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I put together a presentation. There have been a lot of updates to our pension and recommendations from the pension committee. So this first slide shows you the market value of both our pension fund and our OPEB fund. The pension fund is at $73.9 million, close to $74 million. We had a quarter gain of $1.4 million, and it's a 1.8% increase. We saw a similar increase in the OPEB fund. We have about $32 million with a $487,000 increase, which was 1.5%. The percentages in the tables underneath those numbers, the 47%, 71%, shows how we compare to other funds in our market. So you can see for both the pension fund and the OPEB, we were performed better than half of our peers. We still feel like we can do better in our pension fund, so there are some recommendations on the next slide on what we can do. So some of the recommendations that we're making from the pension committee is we want to increase the equity allocation to 65% versus 60%. We did do this change in the OPEB fund last year, and it has been successful, so we would like to do this as far as for the pension fund as well. Also, the state of Delaware's pool of money hasn't been performing as much as we would like. They have a higher administrative fee, so it costs us to have more our money in there as well. So our recommendation right now, 50% of our funds are in that, 60% is in that account. We'd like to lower that to 50%. By doing that, our annual fee right now is $381,000 for our pension fund, is how much it costs for our investments. The proposed fee structure would lower that $326,000, saving us about $55,000 a year. So we would go from $45.5 million to $37 million in the state fund pool. So how would we allocate that among our other investments? The percent in the state pool would go from 60 to 50%. Our equity target would go from 24% to 36%. And our fixed income target would go from 16% to 14%. Again, and that also adjusts going from 60% to 65% equities. So in order to do those changes, we have to change our investment policy statement, which allows me to invest in those certain types of funds. So the motion is, be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Pension Committee, amend the investment policy statement to decrease the Delaware State Pool target to 50%, increase the equities target to 36%, and decrease the fixed income target to 14%, with the county's overall intent to maintain the target allocation of 65% equities and 35% fixed income.
Pleasure, Council.
I would move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Questions?
Yeah,
Mr. Cole.
Just a question. The
your pension's good.
I'm worried about Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
Not worried about me. on the fees, yep. You discussed fees.
Correct.
And And we're making a change because of fees. Right?
Correct. Part of it is fees, and part of it is also the performance that the pool has been doing. So in the past, we've been paying the state of Delaware more money because they've been performing above our other funds. So it made sense.
I understand.
But now it doesn't make sense with how much they charge.
How negotiable are fees? I mean, if we pulled out of this fund, they'd lose a lot of fees.
Well, we're only 2% of their entire pool. So it's not.
We're not a player.
No. We're, well...
I've always perceived myself as being a player.
You're talking about pension.
Oh, I'm talking about the county.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. No, I was just wondering if there's any negotiating goes on with the fees other than us reducing our allocation.
We asked the state of Delaware to come and speak to us at that meeting because we were concerned and they understood our concern. But it is the best choice for the fee.
And the fees, I mean, they're using, what who are they using? The state of Delaware does it themselves.
They have their own, exactly.
Okay, so the state, we're paying the fees to the state
That's
of Delaware.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
More questions to council?
That's all.
Yes.
Well, Ms. Deaver.
You mentioned changing percentages of fixed investments and... Mr. Kramer would like to hear me. That's nice. That's nice. You talked about changing. In other words, I think I see reducing the amount of fixed investments and increasing the amount of investments that might involve a little risk. Did I understand that correctly?
That is correct.
And what is the basis of that decision?
Because of the return, I will get to, and that's a good question. I can move on to a couple more slides.
Okay,
just
I didn't
so you
mean
can,
to jump ahead.
No, that's absolutely, it's a very good question.
Do we have a motion? Do we do
anything? It answers her question.
Okay.
I can move on. So if you look at the one chart that shows where it says projection, U.S. equities is projected to bring in 40 years 8.3% returns, and non-U.S. equities 9.4, but fixed income is only looking to bring in 3.6. Mm-hmm. So to be able to meet our targets, we have to switch to some of it more into equities in order to meet our goals. Mm-hmm. So that is the preference of trying to move to 65% equities, because looking at projections, we're not going to meet what we expect our money to make.
Well, I'm assuming that it's all based on the rate of in other words, the value of what the Fed has done to the...
That's correct. That's part of it. And that's why we see an increase from 10 years to 40 years.
So if we're at... We're not at zero yet. We're at one. Are we 1% or we're zero?
Close to 2%.
Close.
We're at 1.9 for this quarter.
So just the same. Okay, I understand that it makes more sense with good, safe investments in...
Absolutely. Yes.
In private companies, possibly.
Correct. And they are all high-rated companies. Yes. We do not do hedge funds, things like that. We do not take risks. They are very secure equities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good. Good job.
Question to council.
One more, Mr. President, if I may. Ms. Jennings, the Delaware State pool, it is not as performing as much as one were thinking, which is why we're doing this.
Correct. It's not performing as high as it had in the past. And a lot of it has to do with the market out there. And with the market not performing, it makes more sense to go into more of an indexed fund versus an active fund. So they're actively managed is how they're doing it. If we move to index funds, they're just making the market. So I don't want to say necessarily the state of Delaware is not doing the job, but it's the active market that they're trying to manage. So we're moving more to index funds that don't cost as much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they've performed over the years just as well as...
Correct. They actually...
Right.
Funds, overperformed. Right. Correct.
Very good. Thank you.
I have a question. May or may not be appropriate or quite this thing to say. I'm just wondering at the top, as far as the state's concerned, at the very top of who's running the state, and I just wonder if any of this has to do with how administrations are doing or have done. I mean, I know it's a question that's bound to have 100 million answers, but I just wonder sometimes, because we're depending on that administration in a sense when we go in with the state. So I have nothing more to say than I think, I'm sure there's some, got something to do with it, but I don't know.
I think she's implying
who's done the best, who's done the worst.
Democrats are running the state, we're not doing
it. Is that what it is?
I think. Well,
I would just like to see some, you know, treasurers and whatnot in the state administration, trouble-free and scandal-free, and I just think that it would be better for us that it remains so.
Politics really doesn't play a part in any of this, does it?
Oh.
Would you say, Mrs. Jennings?
Oh, come on.
Investing?
I wouldn't. I don't think so. I wouldn't.
You would hope not.
No.
You would hope not, right? Right.
Any more questions of council? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes, per Ms. Jennings' recommendation.
I'll vote yes. Mrs. Jennings, you're still going.
I am.
If we go south, we've all voted yes because of your recommendation. You know that.
That's okay. We'll be good. So the next one is actually now moving the money. Now that we've changed the investment policy, we now need to move it to these other funds. And as you can see, like I had just talked about, there a lot of them are the index funds is what we're doing. So the next motion is to move the funds. So be it moved that Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Pension Committee, change the state of Delaware pool by 10%, decrease the state of pool pension 10%, decrease Wilmington Trust fixed income 2%, increase the S&P 500 index fund 6.5%, increase the Vanguard Extended Market Index 1.5%, increase the Vanguard Mid Cap Value 2%, and increase the Vanguard Total International Stock Market 2%.
And of these indexes, which one, in your expert opinion, is the best index fund to be in? I mean, I know that like there's Mid Cap and S&P, or the Total, whatever. I mean, what is your your professional opinion?
Well, based off of trends in history, mid-cap has been the best to perform because you're the middle of the road, you're not going on to new companies, mm-hmm. and you're not big companies, that's the mid-cap. And they have been performing the best at this point.
Okay,
but you want to be diversified, so right. That's the purpose of going to all these funds because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket.
Well, of all of these index funds, are we heavy on the mid-cap or are we shy on the mid-cap?
We actually are a little heavier on the mid-cap. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're showing that in what your personal
correct.
Beliefs, right? Okay.
Correct.
Guided us this way. Okay.
Yes, correct.
Mid-cap. All right.
Pleasure, council, on motion.
Move for adoption.
Motion, yeah. Mr. Arlette. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay, moving on to the next topic. We discussed lowering the assumed rate of return. So right now we are assuming we will get 7.5% on our investments. Based off the economy and what the trends are showing, that it's realistic for us to decide to start moving it down to 7.25%. So not too long ago, we had moved from 8% to 7.5%. So we're taking incremental steps to see how the market reacts and not overdo it either. So why are we doing this? So we're saying that the historic and projected trends are showing that 7.5% is probably not realistic. So looking at our fund, which is the historic, last 3 years we brought in 7%, 5 years 7%, and since inception, which we started recording this was 2009, we did do 9.4%. I also did a table to show you what governments around us are doing. The average is a national average, is 7.6%. State of Delaware has recently lowered theirs to 7.2, City of Delaware 7, City of Wilmington 7.5, Newcastle 7.42, and Kent County is still at 8, and I knew they were talking about considering lowering theirs. So, and then we had already talked about the projection. So if I take the percentage we have in equities and income, it will be very difficult for us to reach the 7.5. So the committee is recommending that we do take the step again to lower that assumed rate. So if we do this, what that means is we're going to increase our required contributions, which will be put in our budget. So we are going to assume we're not going to get much return on our money, so we're going to have to contribute more to our pension to be able to meet our obligations. So how does this affect us if we do this? So with our OPEB, our funded ratio projected right now, the actuary is working on it, is 67.8%. If we were to lower to 7.25%, which is our recommendation, it lowers to 75.4%. Our total contribution would have been $2,075,000. With this change, we now have to contribute $2,223,000, which is an increase of $148,000. Now moving to the pension fund, our bigger fund. Our funded ratio is 84.4%. It will now be lowered to 81.8%. And our contribution increases $385,000. So what's that mean to us? Because we always do budget more than what is required. So are we really going to see a $400,000 increase in our budget? We're not. So I took what we budgeted in 17, which is actually $5.7 million, based off of what they're recommending our contribution should be if we do the 7.25 return. We're looking at a $91,000 increase annually to our pension fund, both of our funds combined, assuming we don't have that 7.25. So I feel this is the prudent thing to do. You guys have done a great job making sure that we do contribute more. This will make this requirement a little more stringent that we will be contributing that amount. I think it's the best thing to do. If this is the level of pension we want to give, we have to fund it. We can always change the rate if we see the projections change, and 7.25 is now too low. We can always go up. And I do look at these assumptions all the time. My goal was to look every 5 years. I seem to be doing it every 2 years because of the way the market is. But we will constantly look at that. I have a motion. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, based on the recommendation of the Pension Committee, Chiron, who is our actuary, Pierce Park Group, lower the investment assumed rate of return for both the pension and OPEB funds to 7.25%.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
I'll second, but I know there's questions.
Mr. Arlett, questions? Mr. Yeah. Arlett?
I think George has
what? Question.
Has his finger up.
I was just going to say, with the assumed rate, I understand now that we bring the assumed rate down, we should increase. Now, this motion doesn't force the county to increase. So if we have a financial issue in our budgeting a year from now or 2 years from now, we've got this 7.25% assumed rate, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And it, which means implies we should increase. There's no forcing the county council, which is, I think, was where a lot of jurisdictions get in trouble. They don't have to make the contribution.
That's correct.
Right? There's nothing here tying us to a contribution. So a future council could ignore the contribution, even though we've got this motion that we've, correct?
Correct. So this will be given to our actuary, and it will be reported on our financial statements if we don't meet what they say we should be required to contribute based off the 7.25. So it will be reported. Now, I will be coming back to you after my next pension meeting and coming up with a funding policy that states that the council will contribute based off of the percentage for future years. Now, that's your choice if you want to do that, but the auditors are looking for that commitment to make sure that the governments are strong, that they're saying they want this type of pension, they're willing to fund it. So while this motion is just going to allow our actuaries to use that percentage, next time I come in front of you, it will actually be a policy for you to vote on.
And then we will, then the council, unless we make another policy, I guess,
yes.
You know, they could change it. So, okay.
Yep.
You know,
I have a question, too.
Just a second, Mr. Arlett, you got a question?
You can go first.
Mrs. Deaver.
Ladies first, why not?
Mrs. Deaver.
I'm assuming that when the actuaries are recommending that you provide more to the fund, what you're trying to match is the actual cost of the benefits we provide. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So in other words, but there's no percentage of equity required by law, is there? In other words, in the total amount on reserve or on hand for these funds, it's not a fixed number, I don't believe.
Correct. There's no, they'll calculate what our liability is based off of who is eligible for the pension, mm-hmm. and then they say you are 84% able to meet that. Correct.
The number
but there's no
I was
requirement
looking
mm-hmm.
for. Thank you.
Yep.
Good job,
Mr. Arlett.
Mr. Jennings, can you go back a couple of slides? I want, I'll let you know which one once I see it. I think that one, we'll start there. So go back to the one that was, it was circled. Yeah, when they were circled. So currently we were projected at being funded at 84.4%.
Yes.
And with this shift, we're lowering that slightly down to 81.8%.
Correct.
How much, what's the longevity are we adding? Because I know eventually the goal is to get fully funded, I presume. And if I recall, I think we've had that those conversations in the past. Is this, what timeline is this adding to those, to that goal?
It would still be the same timeline because we're going to contribute more each year. So because we now know that our percentage is lower than what we anticipated, because we're not going to get the returns that we were hoping, okay, that we are going to contribute more in the future to still meet within 30 years, well, 20 years is what we had talked about, to 100%.
So instead of the instead of us creating the investment or the dollars from quote-unquote our investments, we are self-investing.
That's correct.
Basically, is what we are doing here.
We're putting more in the market and hopefully getting more interest. We're not able to earn more in the market that we were hoping.
Okay.
Yep.
And then to that effect, because many people in the public may not realize this, could you compare those numbers, 81.81%, because that's where we're headed, as compared to other bodies of government? I mean, how are we doing compared to most?
That was my next question.
We are pretty much, the 80 is pretty good. It's pretty much, it's above average. It's not, it's our OPEB fund that is way above average. We're seeing 2 to 3% people funded on the other one where we're 60%. But our pension, when I was in the GFOA conference, everybody's raise your hand, how many are 50%, 60? Sit down. And then you could see about half of us were still standing at about 80%. So it's we're in a good situation.
Okay. And then could you go back to the other one where I think it was
Go back one more slide.
Yes, please. Keep going. I think it was one where that's it.
Okay.
So this one here, again, so just to reconfirm, since 2009, this fund has earned 9.4%. Is that
That's correct.
A correct statement?
That's correct.
And so as compared to our other counterparts throughout the state, to the right, all I'm seeing is sevens and maybe 1.8.
Okay, so it's a little bit different. So the historic is the percentage we actually earned on our investments. What the other one is their assumed rate of return. So they might have only got 7% just like we did, but their assumed rate is higher too. So they might need to consider moving theirs down or adjusting it. They need to do this too and look at what did their fund actually bring in and look around the surrounding areas and how do they feel that the trends are going. So what you see here, state of Delaware, their assumed rate of return is 7.2. They could have brought in 8%. I don't know. I don't have that on here, the data. But that's what they are assuming that they will be bringing in the future.
I'll throw it out there just because I think it's an interesting thought process, because I know we invest in the state's fund, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And as discussed earlier, so if we're doing better than all of our counterparts, maybe they should be investing in Sussex County, whereas we could earn some dollars from their investments. Any thoughts on that one?
We don't have a fund. We invest in other funds.
You're doing such a great job. Maybe others should be investing here too, perhaps. I don't know.
I encourage them to come down here and invest.
Any more questions of council?
No.
You know.
We'll vote on the motion. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Starling?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I will yet. Motion carried.
Okay. All right. So this is just an update. No motions. So just want to let you know that we're still moving forward with the proposed pension calculation changes. There was the two changes. It was changing the 12-hour employees where they're calculated on 42 hours versus 40 hours. So what it does is their hourly rate stays the same, but their annual salary amount is higher. So when they were to retire, it's based off a higher salary. And we had talked about this, that their average work week is 42 hours, and that's why we would move forward. And then the last change was moving years of service for the calculation. 12-hour employees would go from 25 to 30, and other employees would go from 30 to 35. So those are the two changes. And the steps, I had placed the draft ordinance in your packet so you can see where we are. We will be having a public hearing process, and it's going to be a dual process. The Personnel Board and the Pension Committee will have a public hearing on October 13th at 10 a.m., and then the boards will make a recommendation to the county administrator, and then we'll have the draft ordinance where you will introduce it, and it'll go through another public hearing process here, and we hope that'll be effective January 1, 2017. That is all that I have.
You're sure?
I think so.
Great job, as usual.
Thank you.
Thank you and your staff very much, and our actuaries, and our everybody that helps.
And Mr. President, we need to know, with Mr. Lank here is our longest pensioner, potential employee. Are you satisfied with everything you've heard today, Lawrence?
No comment.
The news media will be on you when you leave here today.
Ron Verosco, Fleet Procurement Update.